that makes us His kingdom citizens and the fruit that comes from the Spirit. Yeah, ask your children. They're learning about all of that. And we are turning to Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1, if you would. Our text today is Luke 1, beginning of verse 39 through verse 56. The title of the message is Pregnant Praise for the God Who Saves. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pregnant praise for the God who saves. Now, immediately, the reality of pregnancy is something that you may be more or less comfortable with. It is a word that evokes a whole range of feelings and responses. If you're a dude, you definitely don't know what pregnancy feels like. But pregnancy can feel not so fun for the mom. And we understand the pregnancy sickness is not so fun. And all of this is followed by the intensity of delivering that new life into the world. It's been suggested over my lifetime, I've heard this suggestion that if you want something of an idea of the intensity of that experience as a dude, just pull your bottom lip over your head. Genesis explains, now you know why in our day, they're like, the drugs are good. Yes, it's intense. But Genesis explains that the pain of pregnancy has been part of the story ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve. Ever since the first pregnancy, because of the rebellion of Adam and Eve against Creator God. Because that rebellion, Adam's sin, brought sin's curse upon all of humanity. That invasion brought the dark shadows over all of our stories. But suddenly, God's angel, Gabriel, walks in to give Mary the best birth announcement of all time. The announcement that God's people were longing for. The long-promised Davidic Messiah would be conceived in Mary's womb. Not by any sexuality, but by God's power. And this son of Mary is identified as Jesus, whose name means salvation. Salvation, because God is on the move to save all of his people from sin's curse. And Mary's response to God's announcement of this supernatural conception is a model for our humble, servant-hearted faith in God. Mary took God at his word. And that, in fact, is the faith that pleases God. Even though Mary didn't ask for a sign, the angel Gabriel encouraged Mary with this good news. Remember, we saw this in verses 36 and 37. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. Amen. God is on the move to save his people by giving us Jesus. And his ways are so much higher than our ways. So what we call a supernatural miracle is God fulfilling his promise. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is there anything that is too supernatural for him? No, nothing will be impossible with God. Because God is the Almighty One. He is omnipotent. And this text is pregnant with praise for the God who saves. I want you to notice, first of all, in the first part of our text here, how God gives his servants an urgency to celebrate gospel community. And I hope this will be an encouragement to all of us in our gospel community. God gives his servants an urgency to celebrate gospel community. In verses 39 to 40, Mary's faith prompts her to get up, like right quick and in a hurry, to leave Nazareth near the Sea of Galilee and travel all the way down to a Judean town in the hill country that's south of Jerusalem. This is a trip that has got to be some 75 miles approximately. So how did young Mary make that trip? We don't know. We just know what Luke tells us. She did it. Clearly, Mary wanted to follow up on the angel Gabriel's amazing announcement about Elizabeth. But also, Mary urgently desired to talk with somebody about what Gabriel had been talking to her about. I got to tell somebody. We got to talk about this is just like filling me up. And who could young Virgin Mary trust to understand this announcement, this reality now of supernatural pregnancy? It reminds us that there is a cost to discipleship. And Mary embraced the cost of following God's way. No matter what, no turning back. A young teenager. Such faith. But the angel's encouragement about Elizabeth's baby boy points Mary in the direction of a safe place. The place that God provided for both of these servants to celebrate God's wonderful promise-keeping work. Surely since Elizabeth, by God's grace, was experiencing her own pregnancy in her old age, Mary would find godly wisdom and comfort away from all the talk of small town Nazareth in the house of her relatives, old Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Mary and Elizabeth were clearly of vastly different ages, one so old and one so young. And yet they had a bond in the good news promise of Almighty God. Think of it. Mary and Elizabeth were really more than physical family, because they were united in the grace of our Lord. Elizabeth's son John would be great, as foretold, because John's role was to prepare the way as a herald for the greatest son of all time, Mary's son, Jesus. Jesus is the true messianic king, supernaturally conceived of God Most High. But consider how Mary made this trip to Elizabeth her urgent priority. Shouldn't we make our urgent priority the community celebration of our forever family connection in God our Savior? Isn't the value of our worship, our partnership, our fellowship, especially on the Lord's Day, the reason that we don't want anything else getting in our way? There's an urgency about us celebrating our gospel community because God gives us this urgency. And Luke is writing to give certainty in what it is to follow Jesus. And certainly we see from the beginning that the good news about Jesus, it's meant to be a shared joy. It's meant to be the joy of forever brothers and sisters. And there is a visibleness to our community that represents the invisibleness of God's people all around the planet. Christianity is not like a solo sport. We're meant for community, for teamwork. We're meant to urgently prioritize gathering as the people of God's promise and favor. We're meant by God to partner together in obedient, prayerful faith, Faith Bible Church, to see what God will do. What will God do in amazing grace in our lives and through our lives? God is on the move. So let's rejoice that salvation in Jesus creates for us a family to love right here and right now for the sake of eternal kingdom glory. This is what matters. Once Mary arrives, Luke's focus is on the result of this Mary-Elizabeth reunion. The pregnant praise of the God who saves. Well, may our lives be pregnant with His praise. So notice, secondly, how God blesses His servants for believing that He fulfills His word. God blesses His servants for believing that He fulfills His word. As soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, verse 41, Elizabeth's baby, remember Luke has recorded, he's done all the history research. He knows the reality, what's going on. And so he records how Elizabeth's baby, moved by the Holy Spirit, starts jumping up to get down inside of Elizabeth's womb. And the Holy Spirit of God moves Elizabeth to cry out in loud exclamation. How blessed are you among women! How blessed is the fruit of your womb! You see how Luke invites us right into the joy of this beautiful scene? Such a magnitude of joy. There's baby John, like in utero. He's in the womb. But he got a kick out of Mary's arrival. Moved by the Spirit and to give this like third trimester prophecy. He's already prophesying. Because Mary's voice belonged to the mother of God's promised Messiah. It's amazing. For your information, there's a reason why we partner with Another Way Pregnancy Center. There's a reason why we want to be so clear about the value of life in God's eyes. It's because babies in the womb are not potential life. They are persons. They have a right to life. The baby inside Elizabeth is clearly a person reacting to the person growing inside of Mary. John's huge, happy, spirit-prompted leap immediately moves his mom to proclaim her own spirit-illuminated pregnant praise. She expresses this ultimate blessing towards Mary as the mom among all moms that Almighty God chose to favor. And notice, who is the focus of Elizabeth's praise? It's Mary's baby. Her focus is on Jesus, because Jesus is salvation. During her first and second trimester, Elizabeth probably read many amazing notes from her husband, Zechariah. I only say that because there was probably a lot of texting going on there. Because you remember, Zechariah had his voice taken for not believing Gabriel's birth announcement of a baby to come to them in their old age. However, Elizabeth is certainly amazed that her young relative, that Mary, is the most unlikely mother of the year. She wins. She's the most favored mom in human history. And this is a birth like no other. Elizabeth can't contain her wonder and her joy. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Oh, behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Mary, what a wonderful gift from God that you've come to visit. You are the mother of my God, my Lord. You are the mother of the promised Messiah we read about this morning in Psalm 110. After all this time, some 600 years since a Davidic king in Israel, some 400 years since there was any word from God's prophets, after all of this time, after all of our waiting, God is on the move. Our Lord comes to deliver from sin's dreadful curse every person who will believe the promise of Messiah. Mary, I must tell you, when I heard your voice just now, oh, my baby made such a leap. A leap for joy. How can I say it's for joy? Moms know, right? Moms know. Well, she's full of the Holy Spirit. And she knows his whole life is about messaging joy to the world because the Lord has come. I mean, how could he not be leaping for joy? The question for us is, how does this map onto our own response to Jesus? If you don't share in this joy of the salvation that Jesus brings, you don't grasp the true blessing of Christmas in union with Christ. If you don't share the joy of your salvation, you're in a dangerous, dangerous place, because your heart will be deceived by all the doctrines of demons. God blesses his servants for believing that he fulfills his word. Young Mary and old Elizabeth shared that precious connection in God-pleasing faith. But what about you? Is your life controlled by the magnificent majesty of God's promise fulfilled in Jesus the Christ? Does God's gospel move you with amazing wonder more and more? More and more humble joy that the Lord would visit even you with His eternal blessing. Can you, like Elizabeth, confess, Jesus is, He's my Lord. He's my personal Lord. I don't have control. Jesus is the boss. Luke moves the spotlight now to Mary's response. Some call it Mary's Magnificat, because in the old Latin, the first word of Mary's song is the word that is translated for us, magnify. Magnify. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. We see Mary's heart also spills out in pregnant praise for the God who saves. Mary is not shy at all to prayerfully sing out her why. Do you know your why? Do you know your purpose? Why God put you on this planet? Why He fills your lungs with breath? Mary sings out her why. Verse 48, because He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Mary praises God for privileging her with this particular and personal mercy. Mary comprehends what it will mean for all generations to call her blessed, because Almighty God, the God whose eternal identity is holy, He's not like us, but He showed this great favor to Mary alone to bear the Christ child. And from the gift of this life, in Mary's womb, comes the giver of eternal life. God's holy name is worthy to be magnified by Mary. God's name is worthy to be magnified by all of us, all of creation. Because He redeems His servants as a new creation. So Mary's pregnant praise is a personal statement of her God-given privilege. But Mary's praise also presents the pattern that God loves to display in His servants. Notice, beginning of verse 50, she sings, and His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. Can you humbly confess your need for this Savior? The early church leader, Aurelius Augustinus, known as St. Augustine by many, observed, quote, for those who would learn God's ways, humility is the first thing. And humility is the second. And humility is the third. Elizabeth's son John grew up to point to the promised Lamb of God. And he says in John 3:30 about Jesus, He must increase, I must decrease. It's all about Jesus. And if your life is going to be about making much of Jesus, you can't be making much of yourself. But all the purpose and all the dignity, all the joy is in making it about Jesus. We used to sing when I was growing up, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Mary shows us this humble heart in confessing her need for God's salvation. And she says God's mercy is experienced by those who will come confessing their need, bowing in fearful, respectful reverence. And those who are proud in heart only feel the crushing strength of Almighty God's scattering arm. Mary's singing the facts. You know, she's spitting bars, as we say, but nothing but the truth. God delights to depose haughty rulers and exalt the humble who will come hungry. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that in due time he may lift you up. See, God always works in accord with his holy name and in fulfillment of his holy word. This is why nothing is impossible for God. And Mary joyfully sings because the true God keeps all of his promise. His every promise is yes and amen in Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not that Mary's praise ignores the cost of following God's way. Mary counted the cost. Instead of surrendering to her fears about what Joseph might say or anybody else might say, Mary counted the cost, and her faith rejoiced to rest in the God who keeps covenant with his people. Notice verse 54. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob never forgets and never forsakes his people. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. God remembers his merciful promise to Abraham's true offspring. And God fulfills his word of saving mercies through this promised offspring, singular offspring of Abraham, Abraham's greatest son, the son now supernaturally conceived in Luke 1 in Mary's womb, Jesus. Church, we have to believe that God knows what he's doing. We have to trust that God is on the move. We have to rest in the reality that his mercies are new every morning. And though we don't deserve mercy, through Jesus, the Father is showing us that his mercies, they're forever. There's no end to his mercies. So we come to him. Lord, have mercy. Don't come proud and haughty. Come confessing your need and leaning upon the rich mercies of Jesus Christ. And if you have not come, today can be the day of your salvation. You can come today. And notice then how God wants his servants to know the word of his promise. God wants his servants to know the word of his promise. Since nothing is impossible for holy God, then nothing is as dependable as God's holy word. And this is the thing about Mary. Mary sings this prayer because she understands that her son is the fulfillment of God's word to the fathers, to Father Abraham, Genesis 12 and 17 and 22. This baby is God's fulfillment of God's promise to Father David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Mary just took God at his word in faith, and Mary's pregnant praise for the God who saves shows that Mary's heart was just overflowing, so filled with God's word. Friends, the Spirit of God uses the word of God to grow the servants of God. The more you know the revelation of God's word, the more that you know the character of God's heart. And so the lyrics of Mary's song are all echoes of God's revelation in his word. They are all, every lyric is an echo of God's Old Testament revelation. There's a homework assignment in here somewhere. Verse 46 alludes back to Psalm 34, 2 and 3. Psalm 69, 30. Psalm 35, 9. Verse 47 connects us back to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 48 takes us to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. In fact, Mary's song has so many links to the song that Hannah sang in praise when God gave her a son, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and rises up. The Lord makes rich and makes poor. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed one." You see the parallels between Mary's song and Hannah's song. And in verse 49, Mary also reminds us of Deuteronomy 10:21 and Psalm 24:8 and Psalm 111:9. Verse 50 sings about Psalm 103:11 and verse 53, Psalm 107 verse 9 and 146 verse 7. Psalm 54 sings Isaiah 41:8-10 and Psalm 98:3. And verse 55 echoes not only the Abrahamic covenant text that we mentioned, but also God's word to the prophet Micah, Micah 7:20, which says, "You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." See, in the common culture of that day, women were not considered to be credible witnesses. In legal matters, the word of women was not like highly valued. But Luke was moved by God's Spirit to give us certainty about following God's Son Jesus by going right back to the beginning of the greatest story ever told. And Luke wants us to know that the young virgin Mary, oh, she is a witness that matters. Oh, her witness matters. The witness of God's servant always matters. And so the question is, are we saying what God has said? Are you teaching the words that God has said? Are we teaching the next generation to say what God has said? So when the enemy comes and says, oh, did God really say? That we know what God said. These are the words that came out of Mary's mouth in the moment, because they're words that had been bearing spiritual fruit for so long in Mary's heart. Mary celebrated God fulfilling His word because she studied God's word. She knew it. And she took advantage of opportunities that she had, even in her young life, to store up the words of God's truth from God's great heart. What a model for us. The song is, Mary, did you know, right? Well, what did Mary know? Mary knew God's favor to her to provide for her and all who believe, the ruler and the rescuer that we all need. Mary understood you can't unhook the Old Testament from the New Testament. It's all the unified testament to what God will do. Jesus' supernatural conception leads to supernatural victory. Victory. Mary's eyes of faith saw the bigger picture of God fulfilling His salvation promise even before her physical eyes could look in wonder on the newborn eyes of Jesus. She's already a woman of the Word, even as a young virgin. She's so happy to receive the blessings that God promised. Are you? Luke tells us all of this because this is what really happened. And Luke tells us all of this so that we will live in the same word-filled faith and the same wonderful assurance in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. Elizabeth's son, John, well, he was born to be a great prophet. What did Jesus say about him? Oh, none is born greater. Right? He comes at the end of all of the Old Testament promise. He was a great prophet. But listen, Luke wants us to know in every way, Mary's son, Jesus, is forever greater. He is worthy of your praise. Mary magnified the Lord, her Savior. Listen, she magnified her son. Like a telescope, not like a microscope. The microscope, pretty cool, right? Maybe there's one wrapped under a tree somewhere. The microscope magnifies little things so that we can see them with our eyes. But the telescope is able to magnify the great wonders of the heavens and the earth so that we can appreciate a little bit of the greatness, right? God shows us His great love and mercy in the gift of Jesus. So let's come and behold Him, that He is worthy to be magnified. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish. Say it with me, church. But will have eternal life. John 3:16, and the key verse we'll see in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Friends, in the season of Advent, and really in every season of our life, the highs, the lows, everything in between, let your life be pregnant with praise. For the God who saves. We thank You, O God, for such a great salvation and such a wonderful Savior. We thank You for Your wisdom. You sent Jesus right on schedule at just the right moment You came to meet us in our need. And we thank you for the revelation of your word so that we can have certainty in who Jesus is. It's the Son of Mary. He's the Son of God Most High. Fully God, fully man. The only one who could rescue us. And the one you, Father, have anointed from before the foundation of the earth to rule and reign in kingdom glory. And so we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth in our lives in these coming days, even as your will is perfectly done in heaven by all the heavenly hosts around you who praise you, never cease to praise you, because you are holy. You are worthy of all the praise. And so we come again asking you to meet us in our need so that our lives would also be pregnant with praise, because you are the God who saves. Oh, we thank you in Jesus' name. Draw us to you, we pray. Amen.